me, if you would, this morning, as the Lord will enable us for a short time to look at the portion of God's Word that we have read together in Mark's Gospel, chapter 15. Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, and we maybe take as our text this morning, verse 13, and they cried out again, "Crucify him." But we're really going to be looking at the 15 verses here, because when you want to find out anything about man, about life, about death, if you want to find out about sin and redemption, if you want to find answers to questions, come to the cross. Because when you come to the cross, that's where you discover the very center of history, of all of history, centered on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you get an explanation given to you of the Old Testament and even of what we understand in the New Testament. Take Paul, for example, as we saw last week in chapter 11. Paul really didn't understand the Old Testament, really, until he came to meet Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Then the Old Testament opened up to him. Salvation opened up to him. The cross, the death of Christ, opened up to him. And the rising again from the dead opened up to him. He now knew the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the power of God in his life that he met and spoke with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want to know any answer to life and death, then you come to the cross. And if you want to know what, if you want to know what sin is, if you don't know what sin is, and you want to find out what sin is, then you come to the cross. You come to these first 15 verses of Mark chapter 15. The first 15 verses here opens up to us what sin really is. It opens up to us the heart of man by nature. The natural man is set before us at the cross. The way it is set out nowhere else. It really isn't set out anywhere else as clearly as you see the priest. As we've said before, you have the religion of the world, arguably one of the greatest religions of the world, because it sets before you the best that mankind can do. It's possibly only superseded by what you have in Roman Catholicism. Man's religion at its best, or if you want, at its worst. So you have the religion of the scribes and the Pharisees and what they seek to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you have Pilate, an individual, a man with authority and power, and you discover as he is representing the civil authorities, you discover what the civil authorities do with Jesus Christ. Not just the religious authorities, but the religious authorities. What do the religious authorities do with Jesus Christ? What do the civil authorities do with Jesus Christ? Then you might think to yourself, well, these are all the authorities, but what about the people? Pilate, the priests, Pilate, and now the people. What are they going to do with Jesus Christ? Well, you find that out. They say, release unto us Barabbas and crucify Jesus Christ. So you have, across the spectrum here, man's nature, what he is naturally. How does man view Jesus Christ by nature? You have it here. And it's only God's grace that will change that. It's only God's grace that will change the sinner to become a saint, a sinner saved by grace. It's only God's grace that will do that. You will only be saved by God's grace. By a mighty act of God's Spirit in the soul that changes you from what you are by nature to what you are by grace. That's why you need to be born again. Because you can't remedy human nature in itself. You can't just try to make human nature a wee bit better. It is human nature. Man is dead in trespasses and in sin. Paul brings that out in the very opening chapter of his epistle to the Romans. And you have the wonderful example of it here in the priest, in Pilate, and in the people. We have human nature exposed at the cross. Let's take a look, first of all, at the priests. Remember how the psalmist, we've sung the psalm there. I say more than they that do watch the morning light to see. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with him mercy be. Well, here they are in the morning. We are told that straightway in the morning, the chief priests, are they looking for the Messiah? Are they going to welcome the Messiah when he comes? Are they going to be like the psalmist? They that watch the morning light, look for him, because with him there is plenteous redemption. It is ever found with him. From all his iniquities he, Israel, shall redeem. Well, here the priests and the council, the elders, the scribes, and the whole council take hold of Jesus Christ. It's the morning. And they lay a charge against him. Are you the Son of God? And he answers them, he is the Son of God. That's blasphemy, you see, to them. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is speaking blasphemy. You see, the priests and the scribes, and they have a position. They are powerful. They are seen as the righteous men of the day. And here is Jesus Christ. He claims to be the Son of God. And they've already, during the night, condemned him to death. This makes this whole thing unlawful. They condemn him during the night, which in Jewish law was itself not lawful. They then in the morning have already prejudged it, and they are condemning him to death because they have no time for this Messiah, for Jesus Christ. They have no time for him. The only difficulty is they have no authority. They have no authority to put anyone to death. Jews had a lot of authority. This council had a lot of authority. The Sanhedrin had a lot of authority. The scribes and the elders had a lot of authority in religious matters, but they couldn't put someone to death. They had to get the permission of Rome, of Pilate, before they could put anyone to death. So what did they do? They are now going to bring Jesus before Pilate. But Pilate's not going to be interested in a theological question. Pilate's not going to be interested whether Jesus is the Messiah or not. He's not going to be interested if he claims to be the Son of God. So they change it. When they come before Pilate, they tell Pilate that he has been causing insurrection. Here is one who will cause insurrection. Here is one that will call rebellion against Rome and the power and authority of Rome. You see how false religion will always change to suit the occasion. And my friend, what are we learning from this? We are learning that it doesn't matter what religion you may come to, every false religion has no time for Jesus Christ. Has no time for Jesus, the Son of God. There are many religions in this world, and there are many gods, and you can go through all the different religions that there are, even within the city. How many different religions are there in the city? Every single one of them have no time for Jesus Christ. Every single one of them reject Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God, in whom there is salvation. And there is salvation in the true Christian religion, the true Christianity, which is not religion, Christianity is the very opposite. The Apostle Paul says, I want to know nothing among you, save Jesus Christ. Look at the writings of the Apostle Paul. Look at the writings of Peter and James. Every single one of them centered upon this one person, Jesus Christ. My friend, is that for your religion? Where does your religion take you? What is your religion all about? Is your religion all about do this, do that, do the other, the same as the scribes and the Pharisees? You're a Jehovah's Witness, you must do this. You're a Muslim, you must do that. You've got the pillars of Islam. You're a Mormon, you must do this. And every single one of them you must do, do, do. The true Christianity is not what you can do, but what Jesus has done. What God has done for the sinner in Jesus Christ. We have seen here the religion of the scribes and the Pharisees. They reject Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God, as the Messiah, as their Messiah, the Messiah, Christ who had come to his own, and his own received him not. He is condemned by the elders and the council. He is condemned by the whole council. They bound Jesus up and carried him away. Ask yourself this. What does your salvation rest on? Is it upon Jesus Christ and him alone? That is the faith that the Bible puts before us today. It shows the heart of even the most religious men that the world will see is there's that big religious man or there's that religious man. And the Bible says, no. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The godly man is the man who puts Jesus Christ at the very center of everything. I want to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified for the sins of the world. Here is the heart of all the religions of this world. They all turn around and reject the Christ of God. But then we come, secondly, to Pilate. Now they bring him bound to Pilate because they weren't able to condemn a man. They weren't able to put a man to death. They must get the permission of Pilate. And he has a different question. His question is not, are you the Son of God? That's the question the scribes and the Pharisees kept putting to him. They knew the scriptures of the Old Testament. They knew the Messiah that would come. They knew the testimony that Jesus gave that he was the Son of God. But Pilate has another question. His question isn't, are you the Son of God? His question is, are you a king? Are you a king? And Jesus says, thou sayest it. Thou sayest it. Here is Pilate confronted with the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Jesus and Pilate and the Roman Empire have no reason to be fearful that the Lord Jesus Christ will bring about insurrection. He will destroy kingdoms, but not by the power of the sword, not by crusades, not by taking up the sword and defeating other people. His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. He is a king. He has a kingdom. And he is the one whose kingdom is spiritual and an eternal kingdom. that not even Pilate or the Roman Empire will ever be able to quench. The very gates of hell will not prevail against this kingdom and this king. Thou sayest it, he says. My kingdom is not of this world. It is a spiritual kingdom, and I have come to testify to the truth. That's a question, wasn't it? What's truth? Here is Pilate, confronted with the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Here is Jesus Christ, the one who reveals the truth of God the Father. And Pilate asks this question. What is truth? Now, different reasons are given as to why Pilate says this. Perhaps he's wanting to find out the truth of the allegations being made against Jesus Christ, because even he recognizes that they've only brought these allegations against Jesus out of envy. He even recognizes that this man is innocent. He is astute enough to know, and he is wise enough to know, that this man is not guilty of the things that they are accusing him of. As far as theological questions, he says, go away and sort that out yourself. Pilate recognizes that Jesus is innocent. But once again, we see the heart of man. Because you see, Pilate was 10 years in this position before he was cast out and went into Northern Europe. But the picture you have of this man is a man that is greedy for power. He's not really interested so much in truth. Is he asking this because he wants to find out the truth of what's going on? Is he asking this because he's genuinely wanting to know the truth? Or is he asking this, what is truth, in a mocking way? Who knows? Different commentators will give you different reasons as to why Pilate said, what is truth? But the fact is, here is a good question. Here is a wonderful question. What is truth? Have you asked yourself that today? What is truth? Is there truth? Is there absolute truth? The world today will tell you there's no absolute truth. Everything is relative. Everything's relative. Things can change. What was believed yesterday, what was believed 20, 30, 40 years ago as being immoral, today is accepted. Immorality is accepted. Things that in a day past would have been condemned and thought of as being abominable, today, people accept it. My friend, what is truth? When are you going to find something? Is there such a thing as absolute truth? Pilate asks a very good question. What is truth? The trouble is, the second thing is, he's asking the right person. What better person can you have today to answer this question? What is truth? What better person could you put that question to than the Lord Jesus Christ, who, he says, has come to witness to the truth? I am the truth. What better person could you come to ask such a question? Have you ever stopped today to ask the question, what is truth? And when you've come to ask that question, you've come to the Bible and you've come to Jesus Christ. Is there such a thing as absolute truth? And the answer is yes. And that truth is to be found in Jesus Christ. The truth of God, as it is revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. The difficulty for Pilate is, he's asking a good question. He's asking the right person, but he doesn't wait for an answer. He immediately turns about and goes out to the people. He doesn't wait to get an answer. Whatever the reason he had for asking the question, this good question, of this good person who was able to answer it, he doesn't wait to get an answer. Have you ever stopped to consider, is there such a thing as absolute truth? You've come to God's house and you're listening to God's word, but you don't wait to hear what the answer is. You don't actually stop to get the answer that Jesus Christ is giving to you. You may hear it, you may ask the question, but you don't wait for the answer. Sometimes the Bible gives you answers you don't like to hear. Sometimes the Bible will speak things to you you don't want to hear. But my friend, you have to stop. Whatever questions you have, bring them to Jesus Christ and stop and wait and consider the answer that he will give. Pilate asked a good question of the right person, but yet he never waited for an answer. And is that not true even today with many people in our own day and generation? They hear about Jesus Christ. They may have questions about Jesus Christ, but they never wait for an answer. They turn away before they ever even inquire any further. They don't wait to get the answer that Jesus will give them. My friend, you stop today. And when you listen to what Jesus Christ has to say, stop and listen to that answer. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I have come, he said to Pilate, to witness unto the truth. The difficulty with Pilate was he loved power. There was something in there. He was a weak man. He was a man who loved power. He had made his way up to become into the position he was now in. And when he was pushed by the people, when he was pushed by the scribes and the Pharisees, he gave in. Far too easily. He turned his back on Jesus, who is the truth, and he walked away. My friend, don't walk away. When Jesus confronts you, don't walk away. Don't turn your back. Listen to what he has to say. And that brings you to the third. If you have the great religious people of the day, and then you have Pilate representing the civil authorities of the day, Pilate, remember, sent Jesus to Herod, and then he came back from Herod. He hoped that he would get rid of it that way. It didn't work. So now he turns to the third, to the people. What are the people going to do? Now you remember how we preached before, and I don't believe those who were singing hosannas to Jesus as he entered into Jerusalem are the same one here. Those who were singing hosannas were from Galilee. They were followers of Jesus. Just like Peter, we know thy speech betrayeth thee. You're from up north. You're from Galilee. You're one of his followers. The people now who are here are from Jerusalem. They're Judean. Galileans better not lift their head because they're frightened like Peter to lift their head. But the Judeans, they are here. Here are the people. Pilate says, I'll take it out to the people and this man will be released. Because I'll put up Barabbas, a robber, a murderer. Surely, when the people are confronted with Barabbas on the one hand, a murderer, and when they are confronted with Jesus, who went about doing good, who raised the dead, the blind received their sight, the sick were healed, he went about doing good, surely, when the people are confronted with Barabbas on the one hand and Jesus on the other, they will all, with one voice, cry out, release Jesus, crucify Barabbas. No, it's the very opposite. Barabbas represented a cause. Barabbas represented the revolutionary cause against Rome. And they were going to put their cause above Jesus' coming. They are going to put their cause, represented by this man, above anything that Jesus Christ would represent. That happens today, doesn't it? One man has pointed, well, he referred to the thing. That happens every time you have an election in this country. Every time you have an election in this country, do people vote for Jesus Christ? Do people vote for the things that Jesus Christ that would stand for? They don't. They vote for their cause. They will vote for this. They will vote for parties that accept abortion. They will vote for parties that accept homosexuality. They will vote for parties that will be represented by atheistic views. You've another Christian, and will he get the vote? They will say, crucify Christ, release unto us Barabbas. It's the same thing. Man's heart by nature is a fallen human nature. Imagine, isn't that very often what happens? What Pilate does happens even today. Let's put Jesus up for the vote. Let's see if the people will vote for what Jesus says, or will we just do what's expedient. My friend, you should never have placed Jesus to the vote of the people. He knew that it was wrong. And my friend, that's what happens today, isn't it? Do we do what Jesus says? Or do we put it to the vote and please the people? My friend, you please the people, you will always find that the people, unsanctified people, people without the grace of God, will vote for Barabbas rather than Jesus Christ. Why? Because man's nature, man by nature, is dead in trespasses and in sins. They will vote for Barabbas, crucify Jesus Christ, release unto us Barabbas. He is the man that will release us from Rome. He is the man that will deliver us out of the oppression of of Rome. My friend, they singularly fail to see that they need deliverance from their iniquities. Think of what the psalmist went back to Psalm. I say more than they that do watch the morning light to see. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with him mercy be, and plenteous redemption is ever found with him. And from all his iniquities, he Israel shall redeem. They think that freedom is freedom from the rule of Pontius Pilate, from Herod, and from Rome. My friend, that's not true freedom. Freedom is to be found in Jesus Christ. Freedom from all our iniquities. Freedom from the dominion of sin and iniquity. And my friend, that's the greatest freedom of all. The freedom to come into the presence of God and to know that there is acceptance with him through Jesus Christ and through him alone. It is through Jesus Christ that the sinner is able to come and to worship God and to worship God acceptably. The scribes, the Pharisee and the council, for all their religion, were destined to a lost eternity, to be cast into hell. Pilate and all that he represented was going to be cast into hell. And now the people, their Messiah has come to them. And in him there is redemption, there is freedom, true freedom. And yet they reject him. And they say, give unto us Barabbas. My friend, today, where you stand, Do you stand with the scribes and the Pharisees? Do you stand with Pontius Pilate, a weak man? Do you stand with the people of Judea who cry out, release unto us Barabbas? Or do you stand on the one solid ground alone, salvation through Jesus Christ alone, by faith alone, as he is revealed in the scripture alone? A wonderful tenet of the Reformation. All of it alone. Faith alone. Justification by faith alone. In Christ alone. In the scriptures alone. Nothing else. Think of Jesus standing there. Even Pontius Pilate was a marvel. As he stood there on his own. Nobody with him. The sheep had been scattered. Peter is denying him. Jesus stands on his own. And he accomplishes on his own what no one else can accomplish. What the scribes and the Pharisees cannot accomplish. What Roman Catholicism cannot accomplish. Islam cannot accomplish. All the religions of the world cannot accomplish. This one man stands there. Art thou the Son of God? Yes, I am the Son of God. Art thou a king? Thou hast said it. I am a king. Art thou the only Savior? Yea, I am the only Savior. The only Savior of sinners. And I have come to testify to the truth. He is the truth. Then him, the truth of God, alone to be found. Let us join together in prayer. Most gracious and ever blessed Lord, we thank thee for the goodness of thy grace. Thank thee that what we are unable to do, the Lord Jesus Christ has done. When he said, it is finished. All things were complete. In him there is truth. Because he says, I am the way, the truth.